You're listening to Liza and Kristen on the Empowered Caregiver Show. We've been talking with Megan Schmidt from the VA Hospital in Madison and learning about all the wonderful caregiving resources and support systems that they have in place. In this last segment, what we like to do is ask what we call powerful questions, those that push you to go inward and reflect on your personal thoughts and experiences. And my first one is, what is one of your favorite stories about a caregiver that you met in your work?
Sure. I have many, but this one in particular, I call her my success story, and she knows it. So she was caring for her stepdad and her husband. Husband had dementia, probably didn't realize how bad his dementia was because she was so involved with her stepdad. And when he passed away, then she was able to focus more on her husband. And unfortunately, finances were very, very poor. They ended up having to move out of their house. My colleague was able to get them into low-income housing, which was a blessing. And this caregiver was very eccentric and love her to death. And she was connected with me because of her husband, the veteran's dementia. And he ended up having a heart condition, which is something that is service-related, and was able to get connected with a high service connection so that with that comes a monthly compensation, and then it also allowed her to apply for our paid caregiver program. So we were able to get her from pretty much nothingness, trying to care for her husband who was extremely impaired, to a great living situation, some income. Unfortunately, he did pass away this past winter, but I was able to work with her for the entire 4 years that I was in the program. And we became very close, and she felt comfortable calling me, felt that I was there for her. I got her. She's like, you are my angel. You've gotten me through the hardest of hard days. And I was blessed to be nearby and actually be able to comfort her when he passed. Truly amazing experience.
Yes, that gave me the chills. I feel like I get the chills every week on the show. Just so many amazing stories and so many amazing people doing great work.
Yeah, what a success story. I like how you call her your success story. What got you into all of this, Megan? You're such a natural.
Oh, well, my father is a Vietnam veteran and I can't work anywhere else. I just love veterans. I'm very passionate. I feel that there's no other population that I can work with that deserves it more, which it sounds terrible because everybody deserves the help. But this is just where I'm meant to be. And then I started in acute care, so I was discharge planning, and eventually I made it to this caregiver role, which is the best job in the entire world at the VA in the entire world. It's amazing because all I'm doing is saying, let me help you. How can I help you? Let me give you resources. Whereas in other jobs, you have to say, nope, you're not eligible, or nope, it's not meant for you. And it's just an amazing, every single day, it's just, I love going to work every day.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I don't think it's bad to say that, you know, they're a unique group, because that's kind of our focus for this month, is kind of highlighting what is unique about the particular populations that need family caregivers. Mm-hmm. And so I am intrigued by, I think it's because I have a social studies and history background, but I am sort of intrigued by the character and the culture of the military and then veterans. What have you witnessed in regards to the unique or specific motivations of our veterans and then also their caregivers? Because obviously if they've got family members that are their caregivers, they have to be somewhat similar fiber, I would think.
And you know, what I've found is it varies from era. So when I started, we had a lot of World War II veterans that were in the hospital. Of course, those are dwindling at a fast rate. And they were the of the era of, I don't need the help. Someone needs it more than I do. So they didn't access the VA or didn't access any programs because someone needed it worse than them, even though they can't even walk or, you know, need this or that. And then what I found with Vietnam is they were Korean. Oh my goodness, it's the forgotten war, which I.
Right.
So they're that era, along with Vietnam, seems to be our biggest population right now. And they're sicker. Sure. They for Vietnam, they weren't the war that was not a war. It was a military action or whatever they called that. So they're dealing with, they came home to nothingness and nobody wanted to recognize them. They were, you know, thrown food at and things like that. So they're really sick and they haven't accessed health care because, you know, they didn't deserve it. And then we've got, you know, our Persian Gulf and our post 9/11 folks who have the experience of, you know, a warm homecoming, but still, I don't know if it's not the full preparation of going to war or that this particular war was just so horrific that they're coming home with significant post-traumatic stress. Sure. And then the caregivers are, and they vary too from the eras. Like right now we're dealing with the post 9/11 spouses who are, I just don't know what to do. To help my veteran, and all I want, and I can't, I don't know what they've been through. They don't want to talk to me about it. And of course, the veterans only really relate to other veterans or other military and feel most comfortable talking with other people who've experienced what they've experienced.
Sure. And they probably don't want to burden their family, because it seems like a little bit from the research I've done in teaching the history of all these wars is that what's kind of unique to this 9/11 or post 9/11 population is that there was less of them. And so as a result, they did more tours.
Exactly.
And they did more intense exposure.
Yep.
Right. And that's why the PTSD is so significantly on the rise with this group.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we're learning a lot about PTSD, but I think we still have a lot left to learn.
Oh, a lot to learn.
Yeah. And so knowing how to support them and the caregivers that are living with them and the nightmares that you see in the movies and all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do you think is the most important thing or things for a person that has no experience with being a caregiver to a veteran should know to create this greater understanding and empathy?
I guess very much so tread lightly. If you're wanting to know about their military experience, it's not flat out like, were you at war? What did you see? You know, and of course the comment, did you kill anyone? You want to just let them be the guide of your conversation. And if they're able to, I mean, a lot of our veterans that are aging are dealing with dementia, and what I'm seeing with dementia and untreated PTSD is a lot more anger and outbursts, and it's a really tragic thing to see. And the spouses are just, don't know what to do. And just kind of really recognizing their military experience. Thank you for your service. I go out of my way when I see someone wearing a military hat or Army, a veteran hat, I will say, thank you so much for your service. And a lot of times you get the look of, oh, what?
What?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I tried to do the same thing too, because again, as the history teacher, I know what a detriment it was to the Vietnam veterans to come back with no acceptance and actually to be, you know, discriminated against. And so I want to make sure that we don't do that again. Whether you like the politics or disagree with the politics of the war, it's not fair to think that somehow the way you're going to interact with the military personnel or the veterans is going to reflect that, because many of them didn't have the choices that some of us with privilege had to be able to not engage in that war.
The other thing I like to mention too is the folks that didn't per se go to war or go to battle is you signed on the dotted line to anything up and including your life. And it just so happened that you served when you didn't have to do that, but you did sign on that dotted line. So you do matter. And these services are meant for you. Even if you don't have a service connection, like if your caregiver needs support, if you happen to have that high service connection and you need that consistent help, apply for the paid program. We want to make sure you are recognized just as much as our battle buddies.
That brings a question up for me. I'm going to take one step back as far as the eligibility goes. So if there is a veteran that didn't serve in the war, but at later in life needs a caregiver, let's say due to a car accident, do the caregivers still have access then to the caregiver resources because that person was a veteran.
Correct. Yep. It doesn't matter when you served or where you served for the general program. Okay. It's just that you're enrolled and you need a caregiver.
That, yeah, that is great to know. My husband served and he didn't go to war. Mm-hmm. And he oftentimes downplays what I did didn't matter, you know.
That's very common. I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And but it does
and it's
matter.
Unfortunate. Because it does, exactly, because it does matter. Like speaking right now, even today, a huge part of why we have the security in the United States of America is because we have such a profound and large and trained and, you know, supported military.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So even if we're at peacetime, their service is so important because it's part of what keeps us at peacetime.
Keeps us safe. Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was an Army medic. So
oh,
his,
wow.
Yeah. He's learned to take care of us at home, and he brings out that little inner Army medic every now and then. But yeah, I always kind of a little sad for him that he really downplays it and tries to, no, I didn't do anything. But
well, and that's how my dad was. And he was actually, he was drafted and he was sent to Vietnam. And he didn't actually get enrolled with the VA healthcare system until I started working. And I'm like, no, you are going to do this. And he's like, I don't want a thing from Uncle Sam. And I said, Dad.
Yes.
You serve your country. Let us serve you.
Right. Yes, exactly. And that kind of goes back to, I know earlier you said if you could run the world with all of the great mm-hmm. ideas, and I'm sure that there's a ton that you have in mind. But what do you wish the government or employers or even society at large would do to support your patients and their family caregivers?
Well, like I said, in the perfect world, everyone would have access to everything. But what's really important is that we are recognizing our caregivers of our veterans. A lot of times they get on, they don't even get recognized. During COVID, we had issues with caregivers even being allowed in to appointments just because, you know, mm-hmm. we had to be safe, and I get that. But when you have someone, a veteran with dementia that's physically fine, looks totally fine, they're going to say, well, he doesn't need a caregiver. Well, the caregiver shouldn't have to say, he's got dementia, I have to go to the appointments with him. So really just supporting and letting them know that we see you and we see what you're doing for our veteran and thank you.
Right.
That's so wonderful. That's something that has come up time and time again with the shows that we do, is making the caregiver part of that healthcare
team.
They're a team.
It's a team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Especially because they're the ones who are going to have to go home with the veteran who has the Alzheimer's and doesn't remember the specific details that particular appointment went over. And then they're the ones to try to figure out, well, what are we supposed to do? And then it's just a breeding ground for more conflict. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's already enough conflict around somebody who has dementia and trying to take care of them. And so the more we can do something to support the caregivers in being viewed as partners, the better it's going to be.
Oh, that is so well said. That was so well said.
Thanks. Well, Megan, you've been incredibly well spoken here, and it's been a delight to have you on. I really feel like I've learned a lot about veterans in the military and just what great programs are out there for the caregivers. So thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. If you have anybody that needs questions answered or anything, I'm happy to provide my contact information. However,
perfect.
I can help.
That sounds great. We're going to go to a short break. And then before we let you go, why don't we get that information,
okay,
the phone numbers and emails and not emails, but phone numbers,
sure,
and websites on how people can find you.
That sounds great.
All right. Thanks.